Okay, this is May 14th, 2013. Cat Everett recording and Ann Tebow interviewing Toby and Carol Cook.
And this is Toby Cook. He was born in 1921 here in Volcano. And so Toby, sort of starting off, when you were born, sort of. Or as soon after that as you can remember.
I wasn't born in Wisconsin.
Okay, but Charlie and your mom and dad lived here though, right?
Yeah. He was working at Fiberboard in Stockton.
He was working where?
Fiberboard in Stockton.
Okay.
And so my mom went down there. My grandfather owned some houses down there, so she went down there for a month. And then I came back to this house up here.
That's really interesting. I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Did you go down there for when your brother Charlie was born, too?
He was born in the hotel.
Oh, that's right. Charlie was born in the hotel. There's a picture of him there.
Yeah.
That's
right. Down there.
In the St. George Hotel.
St. George Hotel.
Okay. Why was he born? Why was Charlie born in the St. George Hotel?
Well, my grandfather owned the hotel, and he owned Cook Station, and he had five houses in Stockton, and two in Jackson, and this one up there.
And who was your grandfather?
It was Lewis Cook.
Lewis Cook. Okay. So, that's quite a heritage here in Volcano and around the area.
Yeah. So he was the county supervisor for this district from 1900 to 1924. He used to bring all the highway equipment and everything in on Highway 88. That's before it was Highway 88.
To build the highway.
Yeah.
Keep the road open before it was a highway. Wow. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
I didn't know all that. So you were born in 1921. So you're the bad
guy. No, I'm moving it closer.
I know.
We'll have them clean up that part.
There was a little time because my dad worked for my grandfather on the highway, on the road, and he used to go to Crawl Flat every summer.
Which flat?
And camp out. Corral Flat.
Corral Flat?
Corral Flat.
I don't even know
There's
where that is.
There's a spot up there, it's called Corral Flat.
Oh, wow.
It's about 10 miles from Silver Lake.
Okay. Well, go on.
The biggest thing around here was Run Sheep Run. All the kids in town would meet right over to our place, over the bank, before the house was there. Had a bonfire, and used to play Run, Sheep, Run. And
Run, Sheep, Run?
Two groups of people. One group here, one group here, and they take off. And then one group would go out and hide out someplace, and they had to go find them.
Kind of like hide and seek, but a little bit different.
What'd you hear?
Actually, well, no, just kind of like hide and seek, but something different. That's interesting, and it was down in the gully there where my parents' house is now. I knew that they used to play baseball down there.
We played baseball down there, too.
Yep. So,
how old were you at that point?
Pardon?
How old were you that's one of your early memories?
I was probably 6 or 8 then, I guess. I was busy playing with my little cars all the time.
And
used to go up to the old church that they tore down up on the hill. I just go up there and make cement roads to drive my little cars on.
Cool. Can I ask a question, in fact? What was the church that they tore the church down? Did it burn first?
I don't know how. I think they tore that one down. This one over here burned.
Okay.
And they rebuilt it.
Okay, the one up on the hill wasn't St. Bernard's, though, was it?
No.
It was St. Bridget's.
I don't know what it was.
I think it was. I might be wrong. Okay, that was all I want, because I thought you might remember that.
And I finally got a bicycle, and I used to travel all over town riding that bicycle.
Who was growing up with you at that time?
Charlie Bono. Bill Janini.
What was Milton's last name?
Bill.
Bill Giannini.
And only a couple of guys had cars, so come Saturday night, they'd stop down at the store, and if they asked you to take a ride to Jackson, he'd pick you down there, you'd go to the movie while you went and did the thing. They did. Herb Hale and my Uncle Corny, they both had cars. And then they'd pick us up and we got ready to come home. And that was the big thing.
That would be. You went to school in the schoolhouse here in Volcano, too, didn't you? All during your schooling, right?
I went to school there. My mother went to school there. My grandparents went my grandfather, Lovezzo, had the wine and smoke shop where the inside theater is. He had that from 1954 till 1891.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then what did it become?
It was nothing for a long time.
Okay. So it was nothing until Bill put in the art gallery, huh?
Yeah.
So it was closed from then on. I didn't realize that it hadn't been used at all the way up until 1970.
Yeah.
That's interesting. No, actually, it was in the 60s that Bill...
Did we used to go clear over to the other side of the creek? There was a road down over there. And at night, sit out on the porch and listen to the coyotes howling.
Did you ever, you hiked all over the hills around here, I'm sure. Could you make it all the way to Pioneer on that road?
No.
No.
I never did.
Okay.
I don't remember anybody else that were doing it. But you know, there's only the Bronies, the Cooks, the Ferries,
and
the Janinis who lived in this town.
For a long time.
And then when I got up to the 7th or 8th grade, there's groups of different people come in with their families. They were over on Indian Hill. There was a house on Indian Hill.
That was the Bonos, probably.
Next to Bono's house.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Who would that have been?
Oh, I forget their names now.
Their pictures were there. The one in the paper about the school. Three little girls all in the front row, all dressed alike. Probably seat back dresses. But that's what poor people use.
My hook. Okay. So
they used to put sugar and flour and salt and everything in seat sacks.
So you make a gingham dress out of it later
sure.
on. Yeah,
sure. Apron.
That is, and they were nice, too.
Yeah.
They were soft.
Mm-hmm.
The Cooks, the Ferries, the Baronis, the Giannini's, and that was basically it. What about the DiVincenzi's? And
there's Teresa Garibaldi.
And Teresa Garibaldi.
That was it.
The DiVincenzi's didn't live here very long, did they?
Who's that?
DiVincenzi.
Oh, yeah.
They lived here in town for a long time?
Frank DiVincenzi. He was a kind of supervisor in 32.
Was he your relative?
What?
He wasn't your relative, though.
No.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
No, that's another,
relative.
That was another
DiVincenzi
from Stockton.
So, how are the Baronis all related to you?
The Baronis are all
Irene was a Baroni.
Irene was a Baroni, that's your mother.
My mother and Clarence and Blanche's mother, our father, were brother and sister.
Okay.
And Pete and Irene.
And then my...
And Corny.
Yeah.
Yeah, but a Baroni and Cook married a Cook
and a Baroni.
So they were double cousins.
Oh, wow.
So we're double cousins.
I see, okay.
And they're all gone now except...
You and Gina and...
Two in stock.
Gina.
Bacon.
Gina and Clarence and you.
And two, one in Sacramento and one in Fremont. One in Fremont.
Oh, yeah,
Harold. Originally starting there was about 24 of us, you know.
So as you were growing up, what all did you do to work at all?
What did you do to work?
What was your, did you, you went to high school in Amador. No, it was Sutter Creek.
Sutter Creek. 1940, I went to work mining for gold, testing for gold, for dredge.
Up in Canada.
And then I took a trip to Canada for 3 months, and the war broke out. But boy, the gold they had up there, you took a shovel of gold in that river.
Shovel of dirt, and you'd come up with gold.
Find nothing but gold. But when we got there, we were supposed to meet a guide, a Russian guide, to take us across the river, because the river was so stiff. He wasn't there, and we waited around. There was the big boss, and the boss, and my boss, and me, and the big boss's wife. And we decided to get on this raft and go across. We ended up 5 miles down that river before we got across. And I was scared to death. I'm scared to death of the water anyway, because Louis Ferry, one of the bigger kids, every time I went down to the pool at the bridge, he would duck my sister and me. So we neither of us ever learned how to swim.
Oh.
Yeah.
Louis was a bully.
Oh,
yeah.
He was a real bully, yeah.
When
I thought
your age, he was a sweet man, but as a youngster, he was...
Oh!
I thought I was going to drown the last time he did it. Really. I was only about 6 years old.
Scary, huh?
Yeah.
I had that happen to me by somebody, too, one time down in North Creek. So, growing up... Okay, I'm going to... I think we should go backwards.
Yeah, because I was interested in what his dad did for you.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Let's go back to when you were younger, a little boy, kind of, and what Charlie, your dad, did for a living and things like that, and your grandfather up at Cook Station and things like that, because those are really important things for that area.
My dad went to work for the high school in 1927. They had three buses. And he was the mechanic of all three times. Every summer, I would go down with him when he's working on the buses. But he'd tear the engines down, the brakes, paint them and everything. And I used to go down there.
So what? In the summertime. But you were in school during the rest of the time.
Yeah.
What was your grandfather's name? And he owned Cook Station? Your grandfather?
Yeah.
Who is your grandfather's name?
Louis Cook.
Louis Cook, and he owned Cook Station from when to when?
From about 1920 to 1929, till Depression.
Okay. Now, I've seen photographs of Cook Station that say Pete Maroney owned it. So because it said it was the proprietor, but he was actually managing it for your grandfather, who was related to him, right?
Yeah.
That was his uncle?
Father-in-law, I guess.
Pete Maroney's, how was your grandfather related to Pete?
He was father-in-law.
Father-in-law? Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, Pete worked up there up to 1938, I believe. Cook Station stayed open all those years.
But who owned it then?
My grandfather. Well, I don't know who owned it then.
Yeah.
Did Pete Maroney marry? Who was he married to?
Ruby Cook.
Okay. So
Ruby Cook was the firstborn of Grandpa Cook.
Okay, so she was
Blanche's
mother and your aunt.
Right.
My aunt.
Okay. That's interesting. I didn't know Ruby. Well, obviously I didn't know Ruby. Okay, so Pete, how long were they married?
She died in 1936. She died young.
He never remarried. And Corny, Corny Baroni, did he marry ever? Never married. I remember both of them. I remember Corny the best. Corny lived.
And there's another brother who was in Stockton working at Fiberboard, and he got married and had five kids. And there's only one left now.
Right. That's the youngest.
Harold
Peroni.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's about, I'd say about 83 or 4.
Okay.
He was the youngest.
So you were, when Charlie was here driving bus and schools, your dad, you and your brother Charlie, who is how many years older, or was how many years older than you?
A year.
Just a year? Charlie, your brother, Charlie?
Yeah.
He was just a year older?
He was 3 years older than you.
3 years older?
Oh, yeah, because it was...
I was the third born.
He had about a year and a half apart.
But you know what I used to do? My dad was driving bus. He used to park the bus out in front of the house. Every night, boy, I was running down that street because I knew there was something in that lunch.
Somebody left their lunch.
I wouldn't miss that for anything.
Mm-hmm. Grandma packed up next year in lunch.
Oh.
You saved the fort. I guess she made something for me. That's kind of weird.
You
know,
were spoiled.
It was
very sweet. It was special.
It was special. Yeah.
Because you were the youngest in the family, weren't you?
No.
No?
Tidge was.
That's Tidge. Right.
A year and a half younger.
So you had which teachers here in Volcano at the schoolhouse? Teachers did you have at the schoolhouse?
Teachers?
Who were your teachers?
Bertha Bono.
Did you have Esther Ferry at all? Esther Ferry, you never had at all?
No.
Oh.
Just Bertha.
Yeah, I had Esther one year.
I thought so.
Yeah.
The first year, maybe?
Last.
Oh, the last year. Okay.
That can't be. Didn't Bono take over for Esther Ferry?
Did she what?
Did Bertha take over from Esther, or Esther take over from Bertha?
Esther took over from Bertha.
Really?
I didn't know that. I didn't either. I had it just reversed.
I thought it was reversed, too. I thought Bertha came after Esther Ferry.
She came here in about 1926, somewhere around there.
Bertha did?
That's where Rebecca lives now. That was
right.
That house.
And that was the house
And her husband, Salem Bono, was the county recorder.
Oh.
And he owned the store at the same time.
The grocery store.
And his son run the store.
So the Bonos owned the store at some point, too.
They were different Bonos.
Oh, the different Bonos. Okay, because there are two.
They were related.
Right. That's kind of strange to have Bonos that are not related to each other.
Yeah.
But that's pretty interesting. So then the Bonos then would have sold the grocery store to who bought it from them? Pojo's?
They bought it to
Ernie Pojo.
Okay, now where did Ernie come from that was related to Blanche, married Blanche?
He was his father called it Blanche when they were in high school.
But he went to Jackson High School.
Ernie went to Jackson, Blanche went to Sutter Creek.
Right. So, okay. Should we get back into, as you were growing up, the different jobs that you had as you were growing up?
Well, I went to the Army Air Corps. The Air Force was in 1947. U.S. Army Air Corps in 1942. My brother and I both joined the Army Air Corps. And I was in there for 3.5 years. And I got out, and then I went to work in the logging, drive a logging truck.
Where did you serve?
In 1942, 1946.
And where did you serve?
As far as I got was Hawaii. But when Kerr got shipped, I was at Mayfair Air Force Base. I got shipped to Texas in 43, and then I was there 3 months and shipped me back to North Carolina, back the northern route to Seattle, Washington, and shipped out on a ship from there. They were loaded down and nobody knew where they were going. And I got dropped off at Hickam Field.
In Hawaii.
Yeah. He was squadron painter.
Oh, so you didn't actually fly in...
When I was a mechanic, I used to... You put a nailer on, or...
Right, but you didn't fly, like, in the Pacific, in the war itself, which is very nice, I'm glad, because you probably
got
lived through it because of it.
Never got that far.
Did Charlie, your brother?
Yeah, he went to Okinawa. And as he got injured, they sent him back to Hawaii, and we met over in Hawaii. And he went back to Leyte, and I come home, got discharged.
He went to Leyte Gulf?
Leyte.
Leyte.
L-E-Y-T-E.
Oh,
okay.
Leyte.
That's close to the Philippines.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. And he got out of the service for me.
Now, Carol just said something that when he came back to Hawaii after he'd been wounded in Okinawa, you exchanged watches?
Yeah.
What was that story about?
Well, in 1940, when all the guys got out of high school, there's eight of us. A jeweler came up here from...
Which eight?
A jeweler came up here from Sacramento. I don't know which one it was. And we all walked in there on Main Street in Jackson. And we all bought a watch, and we never gave the guy a dime. We all had jobs. We all made $20 a week. And we paid our watches off in about 3 months.
50 cents a week?
Yeah, I stuck out my watch. I've got a Lord Elgin. I paid $50 for it, but still got it.
Good for you. What eight of you graduated at the same time and all got your watches at the same time?
That was in 1940.
And who was it?
Harvey Clark, Charlie Cook, myself, Gene Veroni. I don't know if Claire Scott was there or not. Carlo Colva. It was eight of us in all.
They weren't all from Santa Cruz School.
Like Cova.
And then Gene lost his watch. He let his friends that were going on to Germany, you know. And Gene lost his watch. He loaned it to his friend, and then the friend got killed that night. And then later on, Gene took shrapnel one night. That was Clarence's brother and Blanche's brother. Took shrapnel one night. And John Brony was the ambulance driver. He called the ambulance. John picked him up, not knowing who he was picking up. He always kept a list. He looked at the list to see who it was. He got to the field hospital and turned around and went back. Went to the hospital to see Gene. Now that's some story.
He didn't realize it was Gene that he dropped off until he got away from them.
Yeah.
He went back.
Yeah. And anyway, he gave his friend his watch, and so he lost his watch. And I don't know if anybody else is still theirs, but I got my brother's watch too. It's a green Drew and Curvex.
So you got Charlie's and your own.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good. You can give that to your son, huh? Right. Steve?
Ron.
Or Rich? Ron?
Yeah, Ron.
Oh. So after you got out of the military, you came back.
Okay, I went into logging, and I got tired of that after about 5 years. And I went to the high school in Jackson. A friend of mine, Roy McGann, was a trustee. He said, why don't you come up and work in the ball field for us? So I went up there. I stayed there a year and a half.
And what did you do there?
Took care of the ball field. I took care of the what they call the big building.
The gym?
The gym and the ball field.
Oh, really? That's neat.
So I did that for a year and a half. Then I went into the toy business. And I stayed in the toy business 9 years.
What were you doing in the toy business?
Building off hobby horses.
And where did you do that?
In Jackson. I was out of Martell, an old building out there. And it's the Krabanoff building in Jackson. I had a shop there. And then I went to Mesa Air Force Base.
Mm-hmm.
and I went to work there as a, what they call a training device fabricator. I build classroom trainers for navigator bombardiers to have classroom training.
Wow.
Then from then, I was there, I guess, in 12 years.
Let me interrupt for a moment. So that was in Newark.
Pardon?
You said that was in Newark? Where was that?
It's Sacramento.
Sacramento?
Oh, in Sacramento.
Sacramento at Mather Air Force Base.
Okay. But so why had you left the hobby horse business?
I went busted in 19...
We had a group of salesmen.
1939. No, I think...
went into business for themselves, and they told us they were selling a lot of horses, so build ahead.
Yeah.
So we did, and then they were not selling. So we were stuck with...
Okay, I want to go backwards here.
Okay.
You're going to walk out of the room for a minute.
Yeah.
Okay, and I want to know, somewhere along the line, we missed the one of the most important things in your life, which was marrying Carol, right? You married...
Oh, we got married in like, about, let's see, we got married in 47. November 30th, 1947. I got home January 30th, 46.
From
the Army.
From the
Air Force.
Army Air Force, okay. So you came home to Volcano.
Yeah. I met Carol. She was working in ice cream. She was here. She was here. Her mother and dad moved from Utah to Nicholas, who was up by Marysville. And he's running a cattle ranch up there. And she come home for the summer. She went to Brigham Young University for 1 year. So she come out here, never got back to school. We got married. Then Ron come along in
1949. Aha. Uh-huh. So it was, you stole her away and kept her.
Kept her, yeah.
Kept her.
Everybody wanted Carol. I come home and told my mom I found the woman I was going to marry. And we got married.
Yeah.
We got married.
You stole me away from all those good looking guys down there with more money than you
got. all those,
from where, Jackson?
Hey,
yeah,
all those rich guys down there.
Where was that ice cream shop in Jackson?
I was just going to ask that.
But,
you know where the Mother Lode store was?
Motherlode Market?
Yeah.
The deli?
Yeah, it was right next to that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So...
And a little old Italian lady named Lena Spagnolio.
Yeah. She was working in there.
Okay.
So Spagnolia's ice cream shop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But she was... at Brigham Young, she was going to be a clothes designer.
Mm-hmm.
I've had some pictures around here somewhere, some of pictures she drew, which are really great. What you got there now?
These are the pictures of the Toby horses.
Mm-hmm. That's what they were called? Your hobby horses were called Toby horses?
Oh,
Toby
horses. In 1970s, after I worked at Mather, I took a partner and went into business again. And we were back to the New York Toy Show. And that's something to get to the New York Toy Show. It's a worldwide toy show. And back there, took orders, and come back. And then he and I had our out, so I walked out and started up again.
I had one of those, except for that his father made it mine. Oh.
So these, what we're doing right now is we're looking at pictures of the hobby horses that
that's
made.
The hobby horse.
Yeah,
and he was
the
toy maker.
Except for those are actually Toby horses.
And
they're
called Toby horses.
Yep.
From Toby's Toys.
But we sold those all over the United States. A few in Hawaii, a few in Canada, and a few in Puerto Rico.
We did that up in the garage.
Called Toby Toys of America, the ones that last, with Toby Cook as president.
Wow.
How many people worked in your factory?
When I took my party, we had 28 salesmen.
28 salesmen?
Representatives all through over the country, you know.
Oh.
I never even met some of them. They were just
mm-hmm.
on the
just
phone.
Mm-hmm.
And
and they came in all sizes, including a giraffe. And then you also made a camel, too, didn't
yeah,
you?
Later.
Made a camel later.
And you heard that this says here? Forest Blue.
Yeah, the football player, right?
It was our...
What is his name again?
Forest Blue. He was a 49er, center for the 49ers.
Had he bought these for his family?
No,
what?
He was
our... showing the people how strong our toys
oh.
are.
Oh,
he's our model. Yeah.
The pictures of these are
yeah.
precious. They're beautiful toys.
Mm-hmm.
They were great.
Really beautiful toys. You can see where a child would really want to ride one of these or to sit on one of these stools. Or there's also a little turtle stool here.
Yeah.
They're darling.
My brother and I both had them. And we sat, I have a picture of me down the street. So, you married Carol in 1947. Were you making the Toby horses then?
No.
Okay, you weren't yet. Okay.
1950.
Okay.
In the logging then.
You were in the logging then. So, did you live here in Volcano?
What? No.
Did you two live here in Volcano?
Lived in Jackson.
Okay, so you lived in Jacksonwood. And you had friends in Jackson, too, didn't you?
Yeah.
You made friends down there, too. So.
What did you ever meet for?
Pardon me?
What did you ever meet?
1955.
55, yeah.
So.
Yeah, your brother used to come down and get little pieces of wood to play with.
That was in 1952 he was born.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
My brother, Chris.
He used it for blocks.
I actually remember the blocks.
Yeah.
He kept them when I played with them too. Later,
yeah.
he had some of your blocks. My mother treasured your blocks, yours and Charlie's both. I mean, because it was part of Volcano history.
Well, Charlie used to saw out all the horse pieces down in the lodge, in the Sonic Lodge. And then Tobin Holland did.
Right. I remember that. I remember watching him do that as when he was old,
mm-hmm.
when I was a little bit older, because he continued making them too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When I got home from the service, Dad asked me if I wanted to join the Sonic Lodge. So I did, and I used. Study, going up those hills and driving that truck. I was waking up in the middle of the night studying. I was 46 and 1950 I learned all the work in these seven offices and I was master of the lodge in 1950.
When you were 29 years old?
I was 29
mm-hmm.
years old. And my dad, was master of the lodge in 26 and 27, and he was also 29 years old.
Your dad?
Yeah.
When he was master of the lodge also?
Yeah.
You carried on the tradition?
Carried on the tradition.
That is very fine.
Now, which lodge is this?
This is the lodge here
Masonic.
In Volcano, the Masonic Lodge.
Okay.
And which was started by some of the late 49ers, the miners that came
but
up
I
here.
I think
King,
the Bell guy, what's his? Bell?
Oh, Star King.
Star King.
Star King was a Mason.
Yeah.
Did he start the lodge here in...
No.
But he came and visited it.
He visited.
In fact, that's why he came.
He saw what he liked, and he was a big shot in the California.
And back east, in Washington, D.C.,
and
in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Yeah, he, Star King was very,
yeah.
a big politician, and he came out here in the 1800s to while the Civil War was taking place, and he was recruiting for money from the mining towns out here
for the union.
And so he was a Mason, and so didn't he have an honorary membership to this Masonic Lodge?
It was a lecturer.
Oh, okay.
In Lodge. And Lodge. I think that was in San Francisco.
Do you remember meeting in the Mason Cave? Were there still ceremonial things going on in the Mason Cave?
Pardon?
In the Masonic
Cave? Yeah, in fact, I got a picture of him. My dad sitting there.
But you didn't go in there. We have the picture of your dad when they did a few ceremonies over there, but you didn't do any ceremonies over there in the cave anymore when you were young.
No.
Or part of it.
And the lodge building is still here.
Oh, the lodge is still here and meets mm-hmm. every Thursday. Which Thursday is it?
First Thursday of every month.
Yep, the first
and
Thursday.
And do you still attend?
Pardon?
You still
I haven't because I can't get up the stairs with the sled.
Yeah, it's a long stairway.
You know, we had one member, a little tiny, maybe you know him, Jeff Holman's father.
Jerry Holman.
Jerry Holman. They used to pack him up. He was just a little guy, you know. Yeah. They used to pack him up the lodge.
Really? I didn't know they carried him up there when he was upstairs.
They think you're too big to carry?
Pardon?
Are you too big to carry?
I don't know. I was a lot bigger than I am now.
So you became the Masonic
Lodge Master.
Lodge Master, did you move back to Volcano?
No.
The two of you at all?
Never.
Not until
we never moved here until maybe 5 years ago when we moved back.
Right. Okay. You lived in Jackson though for a long time.
Yeah.
And worked up at which mills did you work at? You drove logging trucks.
I worked for Berry Lumber Company and California Cedar Products.
That's the mill right there in Pioneer, right?
Yeah. That's the first
north
place
of
I worked.
And they used to make pencils. The wood went to
them.
Northeast of Pioneer.
Yeah, they made pencil stock.
Pencil stock, yes.
Yeah.
Who did that belong to?
People from Stockton. They had big mills that cut out those lengths.
For the pencil.
About this wide and about this long and this thick. And had a big factory down there in Stockton.
Okay, who owned that? Who owned the plant? Was it
California Cedar Products.
Okay.
California Cedar Products.
Right. I know. I thought it was there was a person, family behind it. Was it Charles Berlsheimer?
I don't know.
Okay. I thought it was. It might have been. So you worked for them for how many years? How many years did you...
Cedar Products, I worked there for... 4 years. Yeah, and I worked for Bud Fine for Berry Lumber Company.
Okay, that was driving truck most always.
Yeah. That's why I know. Almost changed over those walls.
Wow.
And if I couldn't get back to the Cedar Mill by 5 o'clock at night, I had to drive Curtis Silver Lake and Chuck Fuller's company up there or pulled me out. And I go clear across work to Wetzel Lumber Company over in El Dorado County. And sometimes I'd get up there on the road at midnight.
Which road would you drive?
The back road or over there.
Is that Sly Park or Omo Ranch Road?
Yeah.
Omo Ranch Road.
Omo Ranch Road.
Holy crap.
How do you know about the Omo Ranch Road?
Well, because it's still there,
it's
and I knew that it was a log. I was pretty sure it was a logging. I knew it was a logging road. Still is. But there's only those two ways to go across from there unless you go all the way up to
right.
Tahoe.
That's right.
And, or up to, 89 and stuff.
And I would get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and go to work. And Carol would make me 6 sandwiches and orange and cake. And Everything would be gone at 7 o'clock.
And you're probably still hungry.
And you know, and you know who does the same thing? Larry Thomas. He's still driving Mark and truck. He still takes 6 sandwiches. You're all gone by 8 o'clock.
Larry Thomas?
Yeah.
Now, who is
he? Was married to Kate Kasula.
Okay. And he's, and how old is he?
He's about 80 now.
And he, 70s or 80s? And he's still driving logging trucks?
I think he's still in his 70s.
He's still driving a logging truck?
He's still driving.
Oh, for heaven's
sake. Oh, my God.
He owns his own truck and has to.
What's the truck's name on it? On the door?
I don't think there's anything.
Oh, really? Okay. That's amazing. You know, that is sort of, it is tradition. Families up here that drove trucks and did logging, a lot of them followed in their family traditions and continued driving for years and years and years.
Adolf Gauley, I don't know what
to do. Adolf Gauley, yes.
Adolf Gauley, he wanted to help me get a truck. He said, you want to get a truck? I said, no, not me. He said, I'll get you a truck if you want one. He's bought a lot of people's trucks, helping them get financing.
To get started.
Yeah.
He got out of the logging when Clarence got hurt up there.
Clarence Perotti.
Yeah. His cousin, and then the man got killed.
That's Delma told us that story of the man who was killed.
Yeah.
What do you know of that story?
Who was it that got killed, and how did that happen?
Bob Termalis from
Plymouth.
Fiddletown.
Fiddletown.
And Bud Frank called me up. He said, "Hopefully, you want to come over and get Laz's truck. Love logs." I said, "Yeah." Last had the log hauler and he lost his link. That was the end of his career in the bottom.
And then who got, okay, so that was Laz.
Laz, I drove up in, and I
Laz who?
Jamalis.
Laz Jamalis. Well, who was killed up at the...
No, he wasn't killed.
I know, but who was killed up at the mill when you quit, just before you quit logging?
Oh,
well,
he
was killed.
The man
injured, and then Clarence got hurt, too.
Oh, I thought someone was killed up
Clarence.
There.
No,
somebody was killed up at Berry Ranch, or Berry Lumber Mill, though. Was that after you had stopped working?
I think that was
okay, because I think that, Delbert... Simpson was telling sir, but he worked up there longer than you did. He continued working up there, and he was he's younger than you too.
Yeah.
He was, his dad was working there, and his uncle was working there too. So, did you know
Dalt Mills?
Dalt Mills?
Yeah, he worked up in the logging.
He worked up in the logging too.
He worked for Britain Lumber Company.
Okay. Were there any other people here in town that worked for the logging? No?
That's my knowledge.
What did the other old, your relatives do? And like Pete Barone and all the Barones and the Ferries and who you were related to?
Clarence went to work for Britain Lumber Company down at the mill. Gene went to Sacramento to work for Wonder Bread.
Gene Barone worked for Wonder Bread.
Jim Giannini worked up there. He went to work for the county.
Now, was Jim Giannini related to you also?
No,
I didn't think so.
He went to work with the blade, they call it.
Level
off the
bulldozers.
Bulldozers.
Okay. And then Pete Barone.
John went down and went to work at the mill. Pete, he worked for PG&E.
He worked for PG&E.
Corny worked for PG&E.
And then the Jonases were related to the Baronies, too.
Jonas married a Barone, Gertrude Barone.
Okay, that was...
Jimmer's.
Yes, that was grandparent. Yeah, right, that was Arnold Jonas, and then his brother Ken Jonas was the older brother, and he was worked for PG&E also.
PG&E also.
And so it was a lot of logging and PG&E.
Yeah.
Were the...
Oh, yeah. They're building the tunnel up at... and we played it up the river there. What was the net? This was about 49. Because we had 175 members worldwide. That's a lot of people from the people that build those tunnels. People work all over the world building tunnels. We had
PG&E?
We had, no. It was some people that was. Same one. Build tunnels.
Interesting. They build the tunnels for PG&E.
Yeah.
For PG&E.
But all over
PG&E.
The world. Or
all over
the country.
PG&E, whoever it is.
I have a question. We've been asking a lot about work. When you did have a vacation, what did your family do during those years?
We never took a vacation.
That's what
you
I
never
took
say.
A
did
vacation.
You have a vacation?
When the kids got old, we took...
We took one vacation.
To Carmel, and then we used to go to Tahoe with our friends.
Yeah.
Then that was when you were driving on practically a dirt road to Tahoe, weren't you?
No, there are good roads. Yeah.
Well, it was paved, but
this
it was
in the 50s.
Oh, in the 50s, okay. But because I know that the Highway 88 up to Tahoe was still pretty rough.
Yeah.
I think Highway 50 was in better shape.
Yeah.
It was more travels. So did you go up 88 or did you go up 50 to Tahoe?
So I went up 88.
Up 88. That was during good weather.
Yeah, we
were you skiing?
Well, yeah,
did you ski?
No. Pardon?
Never did ski. Okay. Did your children?
Yeah, Ron did. Yeah. My son did. But he wasn't. Shortly.
We went to the kids' Carmel one time, and that was miserable for me. I couldn't stand the sand on my feet on that creek.
He's that mountain man.
Cabin on the creek. Kids were in this paddles, you know. I had the broom.
So you were not an ocean person.
We never went on any fishing. Except to go to Tahoe, that's all. They took a lot of trips to Tahoe.
And we were.
Were you gamblers?
A little bit,
not a lot. We'd go see the shows. Oh, we did. We played cards. Three couples of us played cards. Every Friday night. We played Saturday night. We took a nickel out of every pot. And that money, took the six of us to Tahoe, paid everything except our gambling.
Wow, that is pretty cool.
And we did that for several years.
That's really. Now, who were those people? Who were those six couples?
The Giralonis and Teresa.
The Giralonis. So that's Pat
and,
Pat
yeah.
and
Paul.
Paul Giraloni.
And June and George Jordan.
And who? And okay, so it was the six of you.
Yeah.
How many years do you think you? Did that together.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy.
15. We played cards. We started with pinochle and then we started poker. And even when we moved back, we played pinochle.
Good for you.
Because
pinochle is still a big game
yeah,
up in these hills.
We used to go up to the pool, where the pool is now in Jackson.
Uh-huh.
And we were sitting there pretty quick. We had money on the ground, you know.
They had picnic tables there.
Yeah.
Here comes the chief of police. He comes down with us.
And he
played a lot of poker with us at night.
Who was the chief of police then?
It was Joe
Dondero and Gilda
Dondero. Louis Fuentes was chief.
Okay. Louis Fuentes, yes. Yeah. And Dondero also.
And one time, once the Jumbo.
And Jim Pergulia.
Jim Pergulia.
Yeah, Jim Pergulia.
They were the good old boys.
Yeah.
And what's
yeah,
that
they
mean?
Sat there and watched us play cards and gamble.
That was during which years? from what to what?
Well, it was
from
our
So it was just, it was just after they closed down the houses.
Yeah.
So
Jim took out his brought there, and he come up one day. George worked for the Ford Garage, which was directly at Caddy Corey, with Burberry and Jackson on Broadway. He says, Toby, he says, can you go buy some tags? I want to get another deer.
This was Jim Pergulia?
So we called Jim Pergulia and we fried everything.
His friend,
you know?
George Jorgensen.
Oh, George Jorgensen. So
fried everything. And old Jim, he knew I never shot a gun in my life. He signed that thing off.
Good old boys. That was the good old boys. Yep. It was a tight group of men in this county for many, 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 many years.
And now you have 10 of those people, you know.
Not very many. Every once in a while you see somebody. I have a heart. You're older, so a lot of your friends are, most of them are gone.
Yeah.
But my friends, even, I don't see all that many down there either.
Now, where are we talking about?
Jackson.
In Jackson.
In Jackson.
In Jackson, yeah.
Yeah. And because Jim Pergulia, well, wasn't Jim Pergulia, was he on the police department or was this he in the sheriff department?
That was chief of police.
Jim Pergulia was the chief of police?
Of Jackson.
Of Jackson.
Yeah.
Okay, because I thought he was, I thought he was in the sheriff's department.
And after him was Milardovich.
Milardovich, that was George Milardovich, who just passed away just a couple of years ago, too, right before Dad, actually.
Yeah.
And they were very good friends. George and Jim Pergulia were really good friends with my father, and they were part of closing down the cat houses when they were ordered by the federal government, because the cat houses and the gambling halls in Amador County was an open county still.
I had a shop out at Chickasaw's, and this guy come up from Sacramento to sell them screws and the clips and stuff. And I had the toy business out there. And he'd come out and drink a little bit, you know, about once a month, he'd come up. So when they had...
One day he said, we're all out.
Oh, he was riding down toward Jackson. The first house, I showed him where all the houses were.
We're talking the whorehouses.
Yes, I understand. How many were those?
Yeah, how many actual cat houses were there at that time?
Just a ballpark figure.
Eight or ten.
And they were on some of them were on Water Street.
Water Street.
Some of them were Bank of America.
Were the bank? Yeah, on Water Street.
Yeah.
On both sides
and
of the creek,
of
weren't they?
Were back there where on
Safeway. Oh, by Safeway. That's right. In fact, by the old Safeway.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, where the. Now the grocer's outlet is there.
Those
are
the only two I know. But those people, the Olina that ran the place over there by the bank, she used to bring her girls to town and they'd come in and have ice cream and they shop for bread.
Oh, God, never heard of
these
probably.
Everybody knew who they were.
Of course. And they
How
were probably...
many women are we talking about here and where did they go?
Yeah, really. That is a curious thing. Yes. How many were there, girls?
Well,
and where did they go?
I don't know how many there were. The only ones I knew of was the ones that were used.
Because
anyway,
you brought them to
they're having night court. And I told Carol, I'm going to go up to night court. They're having court.
About the...
There's this guy up there testifying against those women. And I showed him where the houses were.
That was him!
And when he got off the stand there, I said, you're SOB, you used me. And I walked away from him. He says, well, I've been doing this since 1942. Now I just go on my next job.
So he was an undercover fed.
Right.
Well, that was the thing that...
Now, who are you talking about here?
He was talking about the man that had come up to Toby when he was in Chickasaw. He had his shop at the Chickasaw store out on Jackson Gate Road. He had his little toy shop out there. He came up there selling screws and bolts and hinges and things.
And he was an undercover.
And he was an undercover
federal
agent.
And
because they were trying to close down the houses, and it was because Emmer County was still an open county. This is obviously hearsay because I was not even born then. But my father had something to do with this too. But it was protected. The police departments, the sheriff's department, they all were part of it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Jim Fragulia, George Milanovich, all those guys, they knew all about it. And it was an accepted thing. They were definitely part of it.
Those women were part.
And they were part of the community. And the women, yeah, they were whores, prostitutes, but they were still part and parcel to Emmer County, and they really were protected. Plus, it was a big money maker. John Begovich.
That happened throughout the West
a
bit.
Yes.
Up through the 50s.
John Begovich was part of that, too.
After the war, it fell apart, isn't it?
There's still a memorial down there in front of the old Pioneer Wreck.
Yep. Yeah. For Botia. The Botia plaque,
yeah.
What is the Botia plaque?
The plaque, well, you'll have to go find it in Jackson. Somebody in Jackson, I don't know the details of it. It's a heart.
Yeah, it's in front in a memoriam of
the houses.
Yeah. Oh, it's a memorial.
Well, I'll tell you, there was quite a bit of violence at that point, too. There were people, when they were trying to close it down, because the people like this gentleman, this man that came and used Toby, because they were undercover agents, there were a couple of killings, I think, during that time, shootings and things by people at that time. And
who was the governor then? Our governor.
Pat Brown
was in the 50s.
Yep.
Pat Brown's father, our governor's father.
Jerry Brown's father.
He was just a little kid in the 50s.
Yep.
He was a very popular governor.
Pat Brown
supported a lot of the traditions of the West, including gambling and so on.
Yeah. But he was the one that. But they. But he was. But he was.
He was pressured.
By, he was pressured too by the federal government.
And by the times. It was after the war. The nation was doing. We were rising as a nation, feeling more respectable, and decided to clean up the West.
Yeah.
In Washington, they decided to clean up the West.
Yeah.
But
would you agree, Toby, that that's kind of what? Would you agree that's kind of what was happening? Yeah.
Probably is. Yeah.
It was an exciting time in the Jackson, Amador, Carroll County
sure
area. And Jackson wasn't the only town that had some of the houses. There were houses in a number of the towns. Center Creek had some, and Jackson was
Sonoma
more.
Did.
Pardon me.
Sonoma did. I think.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but I'm talking Amador County.
Right.
But
around the area.
Yeah, around the motherlode country. Yeah. They were everywhere. It was business. It was a big business.
Yeah.
I grew up always believing and not knowing for sure that Babe Martin's sister, Mamie, had a cat house kind of on the sly and underground at the Azure Club on Main Street.
Could be, yeah.
And
yeah,
Babe Martin.
You heard that too, Carol?
This is when I was growing up as a young kid, and Babe Martin was our county sheriff in the 60s. And his sister Mamie,
she had
the bar called the Azure Club, which is now where the Main Event is. And she, from what, I mean, everybody said she had a cat house going in there of some sort. And
I didn't ever hear that. And I used to wonder, who in the hell would go in there?
you know, I had been in there with Mamie. Mamie was the nicest lady, too. I liked her so much. And she was a character. And she was she'd be up in the morning, early in the morning, and I think she lived there. I don't know where she lived, but she would be out with her feathery, fluffy slippers and her house robe, walking up and down Main Street, dressed in pink. As I recall, it was, she was quite pink, and her hair was kind of reddish pink.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's Jackson. We're going to go back to Volcano.
No, Jackson is
well, that
Amador County
yes.
also.
And, and the thing
that's
was,
what we're talking about. Amador.
And it was, but it was that was pretty exciting. So, but that was way after they were shut down. So maybe kind of just, I think if she really did have a cat house, which I'm not sure she really did, it was always kind of a question mark whether she really did or not. But it was kind of a known. Everybody thought so.
Which means probably.
It means probably, and she had Babe as a kind of a protector, but she was really nice. And Babe Martin, the sheriff at that time, was a really nice sheriff guy too.
You know what they did with Babe Martin, the sheriff, down at Galt. He had to go to Galt, and they called ahead to the sheriff down. Hey, listen, Babe's coming down. Pick out by so you don't know this guy and arrest him.
In Galt?
And the other time they were playing poker. They were all playing poker at his house.
Who were? Is this the other police? The police department?
And the members of the sheriff, you know. And they got together and said, well, they'll fix old Babe up. Babe was got pretty drunk. And it turns when she's kind of back out like this. Fell asleep. And when he woke up, all the lights were out. They had all the lights out. And they were talking like they were playing poker. They're, jeez, I'm blind. I'm blind.
Oh my God, that's funny as heck. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Poor Babe. I remember Babe Martin. He was a good guy.
Yeah.
He was a good guy. And Marie, his
died,
wife.
He died pretty young.
Yeah, Babe. Well, yeah, he did. And Babe, I just saw his wife,
Marie,
just recently. She was doing okay.
Yeah.
And their son was
taking care
of her.
Mm-hmm.
But I just saw her this past year, just a few months ago, when Mike from Mike's Mexican restaurant died, and they had a service down there at Jose's restaurant.
Oh.
They had a memorial lunch for him, and Marie was there, so that was kind of nice. And Butch Martin, was their son Butch was there.
Mm-hmm.
He had brought her over there for it. Well, anyway.
I think that this would probably, it is a little over an hour, and I think it would be a good point to stop right now in the 50s, and then we can take it from the 50s
later
to now, and your plans to move to be closer to your children in Sacramento, we can take it from the 50s to there, perhaps the next time, and then you won't be worn out. An hour is a long time to be reminiscing. So we will stop the recording right now.
Okay.
And whenever you wish to continue it, we'll be happy to do that.
Well,
sure.
We got a lot of things.